Just follow your instincts. That seems to be the thread throughout today's podcast episode. Paper Camp alum Ashley Evans of In Booze joins me to talk about how she started a handmade, locally sourced food and beverage brand from her home in 2018. The company has since expanded into a team working out of a commercial kitchen, warehouse, and a retail space, and they ship products to stores nationwide. All of this while still staying true to their roots of keeping their infusion kits handmade, locally sourced, and made from top ingredients. On today's episode, Ashley talks about regulatory requirements for the food and beverage industry, why you need trusted mentors surrounding you as you're building a business, and she shares a fun story about how being included in Oprah's stocking stuffer guide crashed her website. This episode is brought to you by our email marketing for product makers guide. 49% of our customers want to hear from us on a consistent basis, and yet, only a small percentage of product-based business owners are actively sending monthly emails to their customers. If you have struggled with what to say, when to send, or how to plan out your email marketing strategies, we have the tool for you. Head to proof2product.com/email marketing and grab our free guide. This tool has helped hundreds of product makers plan out an entire year's worth of emails. No more sitting in front of your computer wondering what to say. And the best part, they're creating templates that they can rinse and repeat month after month, year after year. Grab your copy at proof2product.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Ashley, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I am thrilled to chat with you today. I've been admiring all the growth you've been having in your business, and it's just so impressive. Everything you're doing online, how you've innovated your products, I'm excited to dive into it all today. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, no problem. I'm so excited. It'll just be fun. I love the podcast. I'm excited.
Oh, good. All right. So let's start with how you started In Booze. Give us a scoop there. How did you start to develop this product and this business?
Okay, so I started food blogging in 2010, right after I had my twins. I knew I wanted to find something else to do. So, and I was actually in the process of writing a cookbook, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm done. And so it was weird. It just hit. It was 2018. I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Everything changed so much from 2010 to 2018. All Instagram, Pinterest, and what used to be a love of mine was just kind of oh, I have to do another recipe. I have to take these, monotonous. Yeah. And so then I was like, okay, I love being in this world, but what else can I do? And we had something that we had started on, I think it was 2016. It was on Snapchat. We call it Saturday Sips. And so I'd give people a shopping list the day before, and we'd make cocktails together on Saturday night and just kind of chit chat. And so it was kind of fun. Yeah. So it was just kind of something that I just kind of started, and I was like, oh, let's do it on Instagram. So I just kind of started to do snowball a little bit, and I'm like, well, people like the cocktails, but then I always got, well, I couldn't find this, or I didn't have time to run to the store, and it felt like there was always something that people, they liked the certain drink at the bar, but they were intimidated to make it at home. And so then I was like, okay, so how can I do this to make it easy for people to drink at home? And I started looking at the mixers that were available, and most people are like, I'll just use Crystal Light and then just mix it with vodka. That was pretty much the extent, unless you wanted some big elaborate cocktail. And so I was like, well, I don't want all the sugar. I don't want all this other yucky stuff. And I was just looking at the fridge one day, and my husband was like, well, you already infuse all this stuff. I got the big bottles of vodka from Costco. I already had stuff infusing with just natural fruit. And so then I was like, how can I do this for it to put it on the shelf? And so then I had this little dehydrator, and I just started throwing everything I could find in there. And I just started, it just kind of went from there. So I just was like a little mad scientist, like maybe dehydrating will work. And it did work. And it was natural and easy, and it made it so fresh. Yeah.
So I love hearing I know, aren't all of our business journeys a little bit crazy when we think back at the twists and turns? But I love hearing about how this started as a food blog after your children were born into this fun thing you started doing on Snapchat just for funsies. And then it's like, wait, maybe I could do more with this. And then you really truly saw a need. You saw a like pain point that people were having making these cocktails and participating in what you were doing. So you took it upon yourselves to say, okay, let's dive into this a little bit more. So for the listeners, explain how you, I mean, we don't want to give away the goods. We don't want to share anything proprietary, but like explain the process in which you create your infusion kits, because it is a very handmade process.
Yeah, we are 100% handmade. And it's one of those things where people, I don't think, realize how much goes into it. And so obviously I started with the itty bitty dehydrator. And then from that point, I found the commercial kitchen to work to where we were a little bit bigger, but our kits are full of just dehydrated fruits, herbs, and veggies. And it's in a, like a tea style pouch. And so that's what you're infusing your alcohol with. But we try to source things locally. So I know like farms, we go up to Traverse City, which is about 2 hours from here, to get our cherries. We get all of our apples locally. We get everything locally whenever we can. So we're working with these farmers. We're getting the produce from them and then dehydrating them completely in our, we have our own commercial kitchen at this point. But it's just one of those things where it's a process where we're, I'm there from the very beginning to packaging to out the door. I do everything and I'm very hands-on. And so I feel like it's different than some other companies that wholesale where they're getting things made for them and it's they're just shipping it out. We're actually producing everything. Yeah. Right. So that's one of the things where it's very, I love it so much, but it's also like people realize this, have to realize this is a lot of work, you know, but I love it so much. It's just so fun.
Well, and I think it is important to let the audience know you are selling direct to consumer. That is how you started, but you also are wholesaling. And as we know, we talk about this a lot on the show. When you wholesale, you need inventory. You're shipping in large quantities. So to have a product that is truly handmade, hand dehydrated, not hand dehydrated, but like put in the dehydrator and then processed into the bags, like that's a very laborious process. And to your point, it's not like we're purchasing white labeled candles or sending off print files to a printer to have items made. Like you're actually touching every step of that individual product as it goes from just a concept to actually out the door to the customer.
And it's just really important to find things as natural as possible. Like we're not, you know, not all farmers can have the organic stamp because it's a huge cost for them. So I'm trying to find, this is how they're making their apples. There's no pesticides on it kind of thing. I really want to make sure it's a very natural process from the farm standpoint too. And make sure that product goes into my product. And so it's one of these things, having these relationships, it's just been so fun for me to meet the families that are behind these farms and everything. So we really are helping out a lot of other companies with just us, you know, doing our product. We're in infusion kits.
Yeah, you're selling infusion kits, but yet here you are purchasing in bulk from these local farms. So you're feeding into your local economy and helping to provide jobs there. Let's talk about your team, because for a long time you did this on your own, right? Like you would do all the dehydrating, you'd create all the infusion kits, you'd do all the packaging, you'd do all the sales, the marketing, all of the hats that we all wear in our business. What does your team look like now? Do you have support in this?
Yes. So finally, and it was so crazy because when we kind of blew up, it was in 2020. So it's like, I am still by myself, but how do I do this by myself? Luckily I was in a commercial kitchen where I was just kind of swapping back and forth with one other company so I could be in there, but I realized I needed help. So then I had to find people to quarantine with. I'm like, okay, now can you come help me every day? Cause we need it. We're like going crazy. But now luckily at the very end of that year, I happened to think, I was just driving home and it was like a 40-minute drive each way. I was like, I have to be closer to my house. You know, I cannot do this every day. And so I just was driving around and then let's just get a realtor and see what maybe we could find. And the first building I walked into, this is perfect. I just knew I can get home in 5 minutes. It's so close.
Wow, that's great.
So it's really close. And I saw this space and my husband was looking with me and he's like, what are you doing? Like you said, yes, you want this building. And I think it's 4,000 square feet. It's huge. And we have a front of house and then a warehouse. And so, but it was just an empty warehouse. And I just had this vision that this is where my kitchen is going to be. And my husband was just looking at me, you are insane. But I knew it was going to happen. And so once we had the kitchen and all the everything set up, then I could get a lot more employees to help me and kind of work from there. And so we started with one full-time person and then we went to two. And now we have two full-time and four part-time people. Plus my husband works full-time with me now too. So it went from just me to all this other support. And we do have our photographer is a college student. So she takes pictures, which is also helping her because then for her portfolio, it's helping her buckle
yeah.
up. And she knows all the trendy stuff that I don't really know. So she's like, well, maybe let's do this and let's do that. I'm like, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, so I love it when they come with ideas like that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So
the six people that are employees, that are they mostly doing the dehydration and the packing of products? Like, are they in more production mode or are they helping with more of the administrative portions of the business?
Kind of. So we have three people that are dedicated to the kitchen. And
Got
so
it.
They will do, we usually have produce pickups on Mondays or Wednesdays. And so that's pretty much the bulk of the part of the week is just slicing, dehydrating, getting it all kind of organized, and then packaging is the later part of the week. And
Got
so
it.
They're pretty much always in the kitchen. And then we do have a gift shop now too. So the front of the house is pretty much 75% the gift shop. So we have someone that helps me kind of style things and do the orders for the gift shop. And then I'm pretty much the admin for shipping orders and, okay. And I have the bookkeepers behind the scenes and stuff too. But for the most part, I do most of the shipping. So
okay.
Just because so hands-on. And I had some help with shipping before and it doesn't always work that way, but so I'm just doing it again. Yeah.
Well, and I think too, it's always interesting to hear how different people build their teams because there are certain things that we want to continue holding on to. And there may be certain things that we're okay letting go of. And also it's in alignment with our skills and talents and interests as well, right? So at
yeah.
this phase of business, this is what's working for you. And it sounds like it's really efficient. And at some point you may get busier or you may want to offload some additional tasks and you can address that
yes.
then. But I think
yeah.
it's important as a business owner to really be looking at what can I delegate and how can I do this strategically
yes.
and in a way that I'm comfortable with. If I want to keep something, I'm
yeah.
going to keep it. And that's okay too.
Yeah. And if I have to pop in the kitchen, I can be there later on today. I have to make some more salts. So I'm in there, you know, I can do everything. And, but I think they have their group too. So sometimes when I'm in there, they're kind of like, okay, you know, it's just, and I'm just around
yeah.
the corner. It's not like I'm not there. So if they have questions and things like that, but they
totally.
Have their own thing in the kitchen now too, which I love too. I was able to take that step out of the equation for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I would love to chat with you about regulations because I know there's a lot of different rules, regulations in the food and beverage industry. And I'm curious, one, how you kind of learned what those were and two, how you've navigated them.
Yeah. So when I first started, I had no idea about anything. You know, it's so different because, and so there's something called Michigan law. So at the very beginning, since I was dehydrating, I could do it out of the house. Yeah, I had a dedicated room in the basement and I just had to have a special label. It just said this product was not produced in a commercial kitchen kind of thing.
Okay.
And so you could do certain markets or like farmers markets with that label on there, but I just always knew I wanted to be in a commercial space. And so there's this organization called Grand Rapids Opportunities for Women. They had just a commercial cottage cheese commercial class one winter. And it was like a 2-month class where they taught us everything we needed to know. All the regulations and people from the state come in and kind of tell us what steps we needed to take. And that was just so helpful because if I hadn't looked for that, I would have been calling people and like doing a chase, trying to figure out exactly what I needed to do. And dehydrating is so different than just say, if someone's making jerky, that's a different kind of thing with meat. But since we're just doing fruit, it's different. But also if you have jams, that's different. So every little step up kind of food is a different kind of regulation or license that you need to have. And so luckily dehydration is a pretty easy one to do. So once we built the kitchen, then we were able to have someone come in and we get re-licensed every year. So they come in, but we can have food inspections anytime, which I really like because then we always just are on our toes. We always want to make sure, plus we always want the kitchen to be clean anyway, but you know, just to make sure that everything's all in line, the label process is just all a lot better than
yeah.
at first we were like, okay, whatever. But now we're definitely all regulated for everything like that too. But it is a learning process.
It is a learning process. I'm so glad that your state had that resource for you
yeah.
to learn
yeah.
that. I mean, to have an intensive 2-month program where you can learn all the ins and outs of the regulatory requirements and how the
yes.
checks work and how their licensing works. I think that's huge. Does, and forgive my ignorance here, does the regulatory stuff change state to state here in the United States, or is it more at a federal level?
Yeah, it's pretty much state to state. So I don't know if everybody has something kind of like the cottage law. Like, so some people might not be able to dehydrate at home, but some people can, or some jam makers can do it at home. Some paint,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I think it just depends on the state, which is always kind of crazy to me, especially if you're wholesaling to the whole country, you know?
Yeah, that seems contradictory if you are sending your products across the nation and even internationally, how that's regulated. That's fascinating. Yeah. So, okay, well, for our listeners, check in on your state level and see what kind of regulatory stuff you might need to check in on. I also, too, the fact that there are a lot of educational opportunities with the government. They're just hard to find and the websites are ugly and difficult to navigate. But there is a lot.
And so outdated. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. I think there are some golden gems out there, like the one you're describing. And if we can find them for our own states, that's helpful. You know, if you could go back to 2018 at this point in the end, with all the knowledge you have now from your business and from your journey as an entrepreneur, even before you started this specific business, what would you tell yourself, or what would you maybe do differently with now that you have all this knowledge amassed?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. I think when I initially started it, I had no idea. I was like, oh, we'll see what happens. And so I do like that I was more, okay, well, it doesn't have to be perfect. So I just wanted, my packaging wasn't perfect when it first came out, but I just got it out there. And then I kind of have progressed over the years. But I was just so stressed out about the starting part of it. So I wish I would have known it'll be okay. You know, just kind of tell myself the way I did it is fine. Because there's some people that have like the perfect setup where they want everything to be all aligned right away. And it doesn't always happen that way.
Most of the time it doesn't happen that way.
Right. Yes. And it's just so funny to see like people, I have an old package. I'm like, oh, I should probably not use that. You know, like I have an old school original and booze package where I had the stickers on there and I would stamp things. And on the back, it was so different. And to see where we are now, it's insane. But I think that I do like how I've kind of been able to learn as I go. And I really source things locally. Our printer is local too. So if I just need 500 of one of these pouches, he can print them for me versus me. I was looking, because you do get some advice. Oh, you need to go to get 10,000 of these printed for each flavor. And I was like, we have, you know, 15 flavors. That's insane. You know, I can't do
that. Yeah, that's a lot.
So many people tell you there's conflicting advice. Yes. So I always say, just trust your instincts. And if that doesn't work for your budget or for anything, you just really have to trust your gut and just know that's not going to work for me. Let me see what else can work. And just talk to people, especially if you have like local markets, just talk to people, especially if you're side by side with people. Everybody has little tidbits to give you. And so I think that's how I found my printer that way. And I found, because I was just about to bite the bullet and I was like, I can't afford this. And I don't want to put myself in a position where I would be terrified. What if I had to change one little thing on the packaging? You know, you're stuck with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want to go back to something you said where there's a lot of folks that are waiting for every single little piece to be perfect before they launch or before they release a product or before they announce their business as a business. And, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with you that we just need to start. We need to do it imperfectly and then we'll iterate as we go. Because same as you, I look back at my old Kelp Designs, my stationery brand. I look back at my initial products and I'm like, ooh, those were not the best. I look at our branding. I look at our first catalog we did. And you know what? They weren't the best. I had my first trade show was a total disaster, but like I learned so much in that process that I took forward in my business and I didn't make those same mistakes twice. And, you know, I just think that that's part of growth as an entrepreneur. We will make mistakes. It's just how we leverage that going forward to expand and do better next time. So,
yeah. And I think that's so just knowing who you can trust to talk to about things and like just trust your instinct and then. You can always improve things. Even just now, our packaging is changing a little bit now again this year. So it's just, we're evolving every year and it's fine.
It's what you're supposed to do as a business owner. Yeah. We don't need to make these broad strokes changes. I mean, sometimes there's big things, you know, we rebranded and all these other things, but like for the most part, we want to be making small iterations as we go. I also love what you said too about like finding trusted mentors or community that you can lean on for these types of conversations, because to your point, no, you should not be investing your cash flow into, you know, 15,000 pieces of packaging that may change. You know, we want to stay conservative with our cash. We want to stay conservative with some of these decisions. And we may think we need to do some of these things, but when we have those conversations with trusted communities or mentors, we can sometimes get that reality check of like, wait, there are different ways to do this that will make it less stressful, less of a financial commitment, and easier on myself.
Yeah, and I always feel like people that call themselves experts are usually the people that don't really understand much. Like, you really have to, if someone's really marketing you a lot, somehow they might not have the best advice for you. And I've definitely learned that the hard way. So I know just online, there's just so many groups out there that are, oh, and even with the blogging community, like, let's make $100,000. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, how did you make that 100,000? Yeah,
Right.
it's just hard.
Well, and too, there's a lot of people. I mean, I've been doing this for 12 years, so I feel like I can spot the folks that are kind of new to this. And I'm not trying to discourage anyone. We all have things to share. We all have knowledge and experiences of our own that are unique, lived experiences that we can present to the world. But I agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that jumped into this quote coaching space in the
Yes.
last few years through the pandemic. And they don't really have the experience, or they don't really have the
Right.
track record, or they don't really have the basis in which to call themselves a coach or an expert or something in some of this. So I agree
Yes.
with you on that, to just vet who you're, choosing to listen to and learn from and work with and all of that.
Yeah, it's very important.
It is for sure. So I would love for you to share your story about Oprah's stocking stuffer list. Your products were included, and you had no idea
No.
until your site basically crashed because of traffic. So tell us the
Yes.
story.
Yeah. So 2020 alone, it was just crazy anyway. It started in May where the Etsy buyer just happened to share our product. And so then it's just all of a sudden I went from what am I going to do to just these crazy orders and I had no idea what was going to happen. And so I think that is where the Oprah stemmed from. So somehow they had caught that kind of the craziness. And that's how they found our product on Etsy. And I walked into, I think it was a Thursday. I walked into work and I was like, okay, it's just gonna be normal. It was right after election day. So it was like beginning of November. I walked in and I looked, just checked my Etsy and I said, why is everything sold out? Like, what is happening right now? And I was like, the analytics on Etsy are not the best. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was trying to figure out if it was like a BuzzFeed article or something. And then just I got all these emails and I got all these like messages like, when are you gonna be back in stock? What's up? And I said, where are you seeing this? Like, where is this coming from? I can't make this much. And we were just starting, the kitchen was almost being finished at our new place. So we were still kind of working from these little dehydrators and stuff like that in the old kitchen. And we just really couldn't produce this level of items. So then I had to put our shipping date for 2 months. And people were
Oh,
still, so
wow.
I would restock on a Sunday at noon. People would set their alarms and they'd order it, and they didn't care that it was going to take 2 months just because it was on this. I was like, this is just insane. And so we would have just ship all day. I was sleeping at the warehouse at that point. I was just trying to get these orders out. And
Trying
finally
to
it's like,
keep
okay, we
up.
just have, yeah, we just have to shut off everything. And so we had a whole, I think it was at the very end of November, right after Thanksgiving, like, we just have to shut off the website. We can't do this anymore. It was just insane. But
Wow.
I would love a heads up or something, like just, it just
Yeah.
wasn't insane. I'm very grateful for it, but it was just like one of those things where, like, I don't know how we're going to get through this. Especially with four
Well,
kids. It's like, yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, with four kids at home and then a surprise. Like, I mean, on one hand, it's wonderful to have that visibility, right? And obviously, you're
Yeah.
very grateful for the orders, but it also creates this very intense stress that, like, wait, I'm
Yeah.
not going to be able to meet the demand, or I'm disappointing
Yes.
people because they have to wait 2 months or whatever it might be.
Yes.
That so
Yeah. And
it's
of
like
course,
a
I got all the
push-pull.
bad emails. Yeah. All the, oh, where's my order? I'm just trying to do this now. Like, just, yeah. It was so, yeah. I had to have
Well,
somebody take over that.
oh yeah, you'd have to
Yeah.
guard yourself from some of that negativity because it's not
Yes.
warranted. And also, too, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the episode of like your product is completely handmade. And so
Yes.
the general consumer probably doesn't realize that. And,
Right.
that's difficult. So how long did you go before you kind of shut it down to push pause to kind of recollect yourself? Like, was it months? Was it weeks? Was it days?
It was about 3 weeks. So when
Okay.
we're like, okay, we can do this. And I was just trying to pull. And also at that point, the printer was kind of, we were, I think right then we had another lock or shutdown. So I don't think the printer was working. And so I couldn't get any more packaging. But well, if we just make them and we get the packaging, we'll do that. And so we just kind of
Yeah.
doing everything that we could do. And then for a while, there's an orange shortage or something. So we couldn't get oranges. It's just, and so after the 3rd week, I was like, okay, I know I'm probably going to be missing out on a lot of money, but we just have to shut down the website. And so then
Yeah.
we just put it, we just had to. Yeah. And of course,
oh gosh, my brain is like, how could we start a wait list for this so that people, were you able to do that through Etsy? I get they don't let you collect the emails, right? So it doesn't.
No. Yeah. On my website, you could do like a restock alert. So people, yeah. And then I would just always put, okay, this, like when we could get something on Sunday, we have some strawberry margaritas, get them while you can. And that was it. Yeah. So then we kind of went to focus. Okay. We're just going to do one. We're going to, let's just get rid of all these ones. We're just going to do 5 to 6 right now. We're just going to do as many as we can for one day. The next day, we're going to do as many as we can. And it was just insane though. Yeah. And then of course, then it's like people were wanting wholesale orders too from this. Okay. Nope. It was just insane.
Okay.
Just,
well, let me ask you this too. How are you prioritizing? Because when we talk about selling wholesale, I mean, you came through Paper Camp and you've done trade shows, you've worked with sales reps, like, we talk about how if you're going to sell wholesale, that needs to be your top priority. But at the same time, when you have an influx of direct to consumer orders like this, it's a very difficult balance of like, who do you give the product to basically? And who do you nurture? Because the wholesale customers are longer term customers that repeatedly come back. And hopefully your direct to consumer customers will be the same, but sometimes they just are one and done. So like, how do you balance that?
Yeah, that was the hard thing. Yeah, because there are the customers who just say, oh, I got to jump. I saw this on here. I want it now. And that's it. And they don't come back. But there are the customers, the loyal customers from the years before that wanted to buy also. They're so proud of it. So at that point, I think I really limited how much we had on fear. Because I was going to kind of shut down holiday shipping in the beginning of December anyway. I always try to get them to order from October to basically Black Friday is like when I really want them to order. And so I just kind of had to say, like, this is all we have right now. And then if you really want it, we can for sure get it to you in January. But at this point, I'm sorry. And so I did have to kind of, but at that point, my wholesale was a lot different than it is now. I didn't have as many stores, but it was one of those things where it's just like, I kind of had to prioritize this crazy influx of orders. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and two, as you're rolling out new things, obviously we want to give that to the wholesale side of things first, just so they can get it in stores before we announce our direct to consumer. But that's a delicate balance when the product is handmade, locally sourced, where there may be supply chain issues with produce, or you were talking about the packaging too. So I don't know. I just, I'm thinking through all of the different logistics you have with your product, which are very different than other consumer gift type products.
Yeah, I think it was for a good 4 months last year, our packaging was stuck on a boat. And so we were just counting down. And when we got to 1,000 left, I was like, oh gosh, because you normally order about 40,000 at a time. And so the last 1,000, I was like, okay, so what flavors are most important right now? And so we're just looking at all this. And then they finally came through at the very last one. I think they had 200 left. I was just like, oh my gosh. And now they're not making it anymore. So now we're at the same thing. Like, okay, do I see the stack? And it's dwindling down right now. Oh, and we made it through the holidays. That was my biggest goal, to make it through the holidays. But now I'm just like, okay. And I can't find the exact same product. And there's just always something that I'm just kind of shake. It always works out, but I'm always just shaking in my boots a little bit. Just like, what's going to happen? I always make it work, but it's just so scary too.
Oh yeah. So the other day, my now 9-year-old son came to me and he's like, Mom, are you a glass half full person or are you a glass half empty person? And it came out of the blue from him. And I'm like, I'm definitely a glass half full, but I definitely worry some. And what you're talking about is like, I know it will all work out glass half full, but also this is stressful. And I'm going to worry about
for
that.
Sure. Yeah. And then Jen, who works in the kitchen, she's kind of the opposite. So she trusts me in the process, but she's always,
of course,
are you sure? Are you sure? Like, are you sure this is going to really work out? And she'll get there, but I'm like, we'll be fine. Cause I don't also want to show her the stress too, if I am stressed out. Cause
you want to be the leader in your company.
Yeah.
I feel the same way in my business too. Like, I mean, obviously I trust my team. They trust me. But there's certain times where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this one and I'll share when we have a solution rather than drag them through the issue.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, tell us what's next for InBooz. What do you have coming up that you want our listeners to hear about? You're doing some incredible things. You've been showing at trade shows. You've been working with reps. You've been releasing new products. So talk about all that.
Yeah. So we have for the spring summer season, we have 6 new flavors. So I am trying to limit it a little bit because we're up to 30 flavors. So that's so many options.
That's great.
But yeah, so we kind of swapped out. We're just going to do a little bit less of a rollout this year, but 6 is still amazing. And so I'm really excited about those. And then we do have some more merch coming out. So we have a bunch of fun t-shirts and sweatshirts. And then we do have the drink pouches, which are like the adult Capri Sun pouches.
Yeah.
And those were just kind of a whim thing that I wanted to do last year, and people love them. So that's one of the things I think that's a nice thing that goes with the product, but it's really easy. I can actually outsource that. Someone can screen print those for me somewhere
yeah.
else. So it's
yeah.
kind of nice. I'm trying to finally find items that other people can do. Yeah,
well, and that's a very nice complement to your core products, which is what yeah. the challenge is. We always need to establish what our core products are, and then we build off of that. Like, okay, well, the core products are for this core customer. What other things can we offer them to complement them yes. buying more of the core product? You know, and I love what you're saying too, of like, I can outsource that. That piece doesn't have to be handmade by us.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's huge.
It's so helpful. Yeah. And I mean, it's exciting because I did figure out the packaging obviously for it, but at least someone else is doing everything else. Because
yeah.
at first when I put those pouches out, I was using my Cricut and putting them on there individually. There has to be an easier way. So then I did figure that part out.
But that's where we're testing the market, right? That's what we do. Yes. We get scrappy at the beginning to see if something's yes. going to stick, if people are going to like it. We use our Cricut machine yeah. or whatever we have at our disposal. We order things yeah. in small batches to test. And then once we have proof of concept, then we go deeper and find better solutions.
Yes. Yeah. So. It's been amazing to kind of figure that kind of stuff out. It's kind of fun. And then the gift shop too is just one of these things where people want more things online. So I'm like, oh, do I need another website? Can I keep it all on one website? But we are really kind of doing... People see stuff and like, oh, I would love that for my mom or something like that. So we're trying to figure out how much we want to actually put on the website too.
That's awesome.
That's a whole nother world to the gift shop. I thought that'd be easy, but it's definitely a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's very similar to how direct to consumer and wholesale are different sales channels that require different things from us. Having a brick and mortar retail is very different from online retail, wholesale, licensing, custom, all of the different things, right? So unique challenges, unique processes too. So,
for sure.
Well, Ashley, tell everyone where they can find you online to purchase your products and check out all your different flavors of infusion kits.
Okay. So we're on our Instagram as InBoozeKits. So it's InBooze. Kits, KITS, and we do a lot of videos and fun things on there. And then we're on Facebook as InBooze. And then what else? Oh, and then just InBooze.com. And you can still find us on Etsy too. Some people like to shop on Etsy, so it is on Etsy there too.
Awesome.
All sorts of places.
All the places, all the things. I will say Ashley's Instagram is super fun. The videos they do are just really cool, different ideas for cocktails and fun things you can do in the summer or any time of year, actually. But there was a couple that I saw last summer that I was like, oh, this is so fun. And I sent them to some girlfriends and then we ended up like making your drinks. And so I wanted to share that with you.
It
was really fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love to hear that. Yeah. Cause sometimes I feel like I'm just out there like, okay, maybe people like this, but it's fun. Like people don't exactly know what to do with the product sometimes. Yeah.
No, well, it's a great sales and marketing tool for you, but it's also just a connectivity tool. And I loved what you said too, of like, is anyone out there? Is anyone listening? How true is that for all of social media? We're like, are people paying attention?
Yeah.
No, you're doing a great job with it and we all appreciate it. So thank you for all your creativity there. Well, Ashley, thank you for your time today and for sharing your story with us. I know the listeners are going to gather a lot of inspiration and just thank you too for being an active contributor to our community. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
One of the key messages that I hope you take away from today's episode is that done is better than perfect. Ashley talks about how they got started with what they had at the time, and then they incrementally made changes to their process, their sourcing, their packaging, their team, and more. This is how strong businesses are built. We iterate as we go. We apply new knowledge and opportunities as they become available to us. So I hope you had those big takeaways too. A big thank you to Ashley for coming on the show today and sharing her business journey. Ashley also recently came back as a speaker for our Paper Camp program. She was sharing her experiences selling and growing the wholesale arm of her business with our community, and we are so lucky to have fostered such a rich community of product makers who openly share their experiences, their knowledge, their resources with each other. Now, before we sign off, I want to share a note from Jesse Regis of Virgins on Fire. Jesse recently participated in Paper Camp, and this is what he had to say when he then went on to join our Labs program. He says, "Beyond thankful to be here, Katie. After consuming the content in Paper Camp, I found myself craving more and more. I'm canceling Netflix. There's no better content than this. Let's go." Jesse, thank you so much for your kind words and all of your contributions to our community already. We're so happy to have you. Listeners, if you are looking for a safe space to talk openly about the challenges and solutions needed to scale a product-based business, look no further. We have carved out a space just for you. Our Labs community consists of brands across industries and across the globe who are building profitable, sustainable, product-based businesses at their own pace and in their own way. We have trainings, we have templates, we have coaching calls and community connections and events to help you make forward progress towards your goals. You can learn more at proof2product.com/labs, and we look forward to having you join us. Thanks for tuning in today and listening until the end. If you found today's episode helpful, please go follow Ashley on Instagram. She's at InBoozeKits. And if you're up for it, share a screenshot of the episode in your stories and tag both of us. I'm at Proof2Product. All right, I'll be back next week with another new episode.